You're listening to an audio sermon from Trinity Bible Chapel. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybiblechapel.ca.
What is the purpose of your life? What drives you? What is it that you're aiming for? Everyone is aiming for at least one thing. Most people, I think, are aiming for multiple things and don't even know what they're aiming for. I'd say a lot of people don't even know what they're aiming for in life. What is the purpose of your life? What is the target that your eye is supposed to be on? Where are you supposed to be putting forward your most important effort? Where are you supposed to be spending your energy, your brain power? What is most important? What is most important? I return to this small verse, verse 33, having already looked at verse 25 through 34, and I sense that verse 33 in and of itself warrants an entire sermon because it tells us what you're supposed to be spending your energy on. And it must be read in light of the rest of the passage. The rest of the passage tells us what we're not supposed to be spending our energy on. This tells us what we are supposed to be spending our energy on. So Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let's pray. Father, we pray to you, and we want to be those who spend our energy on what is most important, what we were designed to spend on. We pray, Heavenly Father, that for those Christians among us who are distracted by things that they shouldn't be distracted by, that today they would refocus on what is right. And for those among us, Father, who do not know Jesus Christ, and who are spending their energy on things that they were not designed to spend their energy on, we pray that they would know Jesus Christ and be saved. Please, Father, anoint the preaching of your word. May it be used to plant seed, and may you bring forward a harvest today. In Jesus' name, amen. I have one point, and I'm not going to even put it on the board. It's just one point. And my one point is this. You can either worry about the world, or you can worry about righteousness. There's two things that you can spend your energy and angst on. Your mind was created to think about things and to ponder things and to strategize for things, and you can either use the intellect that the Lord's given you the right way or the wrong way. The right way is the kingdom of God. The wrong way is everything else. There's only two categories. It's either the kingdom of God or it's the wrong thing. That's my main point. The kingdom of God or the wrong thing. The righteousness of God are the wrong thing. I'll show you in the text. The alternative to worry about the material world is seeking the kingdom of God. So if I say don't worry, that's one thing, but if I say don't worry but do this, that's another thing. It's one thing to tell people to stop doing something, it's another thing to tell them to stop doing something and then tell them to do the right thing. We're not idle creatures. Our minds are not idle. And so if you look at verse 33, it starts with a three-letter word in our English translations, and that three-letter word is the word but. The word but. And the reason that word is there, because it contrasts this verse with the rest of the verse. So Jesus is saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, but do this. Okay? Contrasts. It comes after something. So, you look at verse 25. This is what it comes after. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Don't be anxious about these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Or you look down at verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Again. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus is forbidding anxiety about worldly things, and he's pointing us to anxiety about spiritual things. Verse 32, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. The godless people in the world seek after the wrong things. Christians don't. They seek after the right thing. And what is the right thing? The right thing is verse 33, because it is contrasted with the rest of the passage. Verse 33, but, see, it's a contrast. Don't seek this, but seek this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I am convinced that everyone is designed to pursue things. Your mind has been designed to pursue things. We are designed by God to energetically pursue something, to put our life into something. And what are you pursuing? Because if you pursue the wrong things, you're going to hurt yourself and you're going to hurt the people around you. And Jesus is commanding us to pursue the right things. There's only two things you can pursue: God's righteousness and his kingdom, the first thing. The second thing, everything else. The first thing's the right thing. Everything else is the wrong thing. God has designed you to seek him. That's what you were designed to do. We live in a culture that is energetically seeking pleasure, stuff, wholeness, mental health, physical health, community, but is not seeking the righteousness of God. All kinds of things we're hearing about we should seek. Wholeness, self-esteem, mental health, community, physical health, physical well-being, mental well-being, pleasure, happiness, stuff. And people are being put on all these different trajectories, and some of them are searching a million different things at once, but they're not searching the right thing. They're not searching the right thing. I go to the gym every now and then. Somebody laugh? It's true. Even a few times in the last few weeks, you know. And one of my observations about being at the gym, especially this time of year, because everyone's, oh, it's New Year's, right? Lasts for about 3 weeks. Gym will start to slow down this coming week. Is there's people there who get all energetic about exercising and building muscle mass and becoming lean, and they don't know what they're doing. So they go to the gym and they're throwing around weights, but they're throwing them around the wrong way. And you watch them, I watch them, and you know, bless their hearts, right? Like, they have the right desire. They have energy that's pent up in them that is desiring to, you know, be healthy. But they're doing it in such a way where they're not going to attain their objectives. In fact, they're actually going to hurt themselves. They're actually going to hurt themselves. It will bring them pain, and they will not meet their goals because they do not know what they're doing, and I just wish they'd watch a YouTube video or just ask someone for help. But they don't. So they go there and throw weights around and end up quitting and frustrated, and they get hurt. And that's how your life is. People have energy. People have drive. People have desire. People have mental capacity. And everywhere we look in this world, they're using their desire, they're using their drive, they're using their mental capacity, they're using it all the wrong way, and they're hurting themselves and they're hurting the people around them. Jesus says this is where the drive goes. One objective, the righteousness of God and his kingdom. That's it. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's it. That's all it is. Charles Spurgeon said, very helpful, only adds to what I'm saying here. Very well, let us be anxious, but let your anxiety run in the right direction. You cannot be too careful or too energetic when God and his righteousness are concerned. God has even given you the capacity to be anxious. Just make sure it's about the right things. One way or another, you will spend your energy, both mental and physical, both nervous and physical energy you will spend, but let's spend it on the right thing, not the right things, the right thing. Because there's only one and everything else is wrong. This really simplifies things. This is a message for the day. How many are running in a million directions, spending their energy, and they don't even know why they're going in that direction? And they're tearing themselves apart. Let us spend our energy on the right thing. The only right thing is the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else is wrong. It's all wrong. It's only two ways, the kingdom of God and his righteousness or everything else. That's it. That's it. The right way is the kingdom of God. The wrong way is everything else. And you're supposed to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness with vigor. This is supposed to be a very vigorous pursuit. We are dealing with the alternative to seeking everything else. And there's only two bags that you can put your energy in. One is the righteousness of God and his kingdom. The other one is everything else. This is the alternative, and it is to be sought with vigor. Look at what Jesus says. Verse 33. But, not the other stuff, but seek. Seek. This is to be absorbed in the search for something. You're absorbed in the search for something. A persevering effort to obtain something. This is a strain to find something. This is what he's talking about. To be absorbed in the pursuit of something, a persevering effort to obtain something, and a strain to find something. And the verbal tense is such that it is to be done constantly. It doesn't stop. You are always seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You're always absorbed in the search for it. You're always absorbed in a persevering effort to find it and obtain it, a strain to find, always. And it's to be done first. First. Before everything else, before You know what's there? Oh, I want to just know who I really am on the inside. No. That's a waste of time. What a waste of time that is. You won't know who you are until you know God. You won't. Oh, my career. Got to make the career moves. That's the first concern. And the educational choices, you know, this is something we need to think about. Why are you educating your children? Why are you seeking a university degree? Why? If it's for the sake of education and to make yourself marketable, that's a problem. Your education should be so that you increase in wisdom and virtue. That is the purpose of education. Marketability is not. Now, as you increase in wisdom and virtue, all these other things will be added to you. That's why I'm very concerned about starting a classical Christian school. The whole objective of the classical Christian model is not the attaining of knowledge and the marketability of the student. It is the training the student in virtue and wisdom, the righteousness of God. You teach the information in such a way that it teaches them to think in righteous and wise ways. Maybe your whole goal in life is to have a nice family. Wrong. Maybe your whole goal in life is to make decisions that make people like you. Wrong. And I've seen so many people that say, this is how I make righteous decisions. I pray about it, then I have a good feeling about it, then I make the decision. Well, there's a lot of people I know who have prayed about really dumb decisions, have made the dumb decisions, and they said they had peace from God before they made the dumb decision. If God gave you peace to make a sinful decision, the God you're worshiping is not the God of the Bible. You must exhaust your energy on the things that are most important, and there is only one thing that is most important, that's the righteousness of God and His kingdom. Everything else is not important. Now, this isn't the takeaway from some of you who go through, we all go through the valley of the shadow of death. We walk through dark valleys in this life, and in fact, a lot of life is in a dark valley. A lot of it is. I think the majority experience of people on the face of the earth is not the experience that you're having flash before you on the silver screen. The majority experience of people is misery. It's misery. That is the human condition. But what are you pursuing in the misery? That's the question. Are you pursuing getting out of the misery? Or are you pursuing the righteousness of God? Right? Now, I don't know, have you ever lost your kid at a shopping mall or an amusement park? When you lose your kid at a shopping mall or an amusement park, what do you do? Everyone's looking for the kid. That's where all the energy, you don't even care about anything else. Where's the kid? Where's the kid? Where's the kid? Some of you can't relate to that. Have you ever lost your phone? Have you ever lost your phone? You know you're getting a new phone in 2 years, but you still drop everything to find that phone. All of a sudden, everything else is now second because you got to find that phone, isn't it? The mind zeroes in on the phone and the phone becomes the priority. This is what Jesus Christ is talking about. The priority of your life is the righteousness of God to the point where it clouds everything out. This is what he's talking about. If you exhaust your energy on these things, you're doing what you've been designed to do. The kingdom of God and His righteousness. The only thing you should be exhausting your energy on. John Calvin said, "He who assigns the first rank to the kingdom of God will not carry beyond moderation his anxiety about food." There is a level of thought that goes into food. There is a level of thought that goes into clothing. There is a level of thought that goes into family life and into your vocation. But it is to be governed by a pursuit of the righteousness of God. He's not talking about going living in a cave and praying in a corner with a candle all day. That's not what he's talking about. It is the pursuit of the righteousness of God in all areas of life. It will govern your pursuit on your vocation. It will govern your pursuit of building a healthy family. It will govern your pursuit of education. What is the biggest concern? What are you more anxious about? The exam you've got to write in a few weeks, the paper you have to hand in, or the righteousness of God? What is it? If your anxiety levels for the paper and the exam and the deadline and the deal are higher than your concern for the righteousness of God, that is an indication of bad spiritual health. This is drawing attention away from our worries towards our chief concern. If you are concerned about the right thing, you won't be worried about the wrong things. If you are concerned about the right thing, you won't be worried about the wrong things. The righteousness of God, His righteousness and His kingdom must be so in your mind and in your eye that everything else, every other pursuit is clouded out. This is the only way to live, folks. But the world shoots a million messages at us. You live to look good. You live to be healthy. You live to pursue wealth. You live to experience pleasure. You live to find yourself. Like silliness. Absolute silliness. And we're living in a world that is just increasing in pain by the day. It's a generation now that is rising up that has been taught to pursue all these silly things. Find who you are really on the inside. Right? Pursue wholeness. Pursue health. Pursue wealth. Pursue career. Pursue ambition. Pursue self-esteem. You just got to be happy. This is the garbage you've been told. It's a generation that has sown the wind and is reaping the whirlwind because they have not been taught to seek what they need to be seeking. I had it from a very credible source. I heard that in Waterloo region last Friday night, there were 33 overdoses. 33. I never heard of an overdose when I was a kid. Never heard of one. That was something they did in Hollywood. Or some garage band in Seattle. That was it. 33 in one night. It's a generation that has been taught to seek the wrong things. These suicide levels, despair. You hear about people cutting themselves now. Why? Why? Why would someone do that? Here's why. The pursuit is on the wrong thing. Something is not adding up in a society where this is going on. The pursuit is on the wrong thing. The pursuit of righteousness is being clouded out by something else. And whatever it is, it's wrong. It's wrong. And there's an attempt to normalize all this stuff. It's terrible. What is it going to be? The right thing or the wrong thing? Things, wrong things. The right thing or the wrong things? The right thing is the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The wrong things are everything else. And look at what the right things are. Look at what the right things are. These are the things the right thing that you need to exhaust your energy on. The kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what it says. The kingdom of God and His righteousness. Verse 33, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His kingdom, listen to me, His kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. These two concepts run parallel to one another. The kingdom of God and His righteousness, they're not opposites. They run parallel. Because his kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. It's his kingdom and it's his righteousness. And these are things that must be sought. And so, at the very least, at the very minimum, the very minimum, you must be saved. Are you saved? I'm asking, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ? There's people that come to this church every Sunday and they reject the free offer of God's grace. God offers you grace and mercy to make those who are unrighteous, righteous. Make those who are sinful, righteous. Make them who are dirty, clean. And what does that look like? Well, we come to God and our hearts are corrupt and we're lawbreakers and we're violators of his law. And the curse of the law is upon us, not because the law is bad, but because we are bad and therefore the law curses us because it is good and we are bad. And the curse of the law rests upon us in that we are soiled and we are made filthy by our sins, but the blood of Christ is shed so that we can be washed of all our sins and made righteous in the sight of God, and Christ rose from the dead. Look at, have you experienced the soul-cleansing power of the blood of Christ? Are you righteous in the sight of God? And some of you come to church, you're like, I'm not good enough. I can't do that. I can't become a Christian because I'm such a bad person. And look, do you know what the Bible says? Do you know how you experience the righteousness of God? Believe. Just believe. Just believe. God's gift of grace is free. God's gift of grace is a gift for bad people. So believe. Believe in him. And I don't know why, but some of you, you don't, and you refuse it, and you won't take this offer of grace, but the free offer of grace is yours, and you must believe. You must. And he loves you, and he offers you his righteousness. Look to Jesus Christ for his righteousness. May the Lord have mercy on those who hear me and don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. May the Lord have mercy on you. And may he give you eyes to see and ears to hear this wonderful promise of free grace. But there's more to this than simply saying, I'm saved. There's something else that's going on when Jesus is talking about this, because the ones that God saves are the ones that God changes. So God begins to change the heart of the person. So the person who actually gets saved is now a person who has a new heart, and the heart starts to crave things. The person once craved drugs, and now the person craves righteousness. The person once craved porn, and now the person craves righteousness. The person once craved the approval of man, and now the person craves righteousness. And so the heart begins to change, and the heart starts to crave righteousness. And what have I said? God changes the heart changes the person, and the person changes the world. When God changes a heart, that person is now powerful, because the power of God rests upon him, and now what he starts to touch starts to be changed. Living waters flow out of you. God changes the heart. The heart changes the person. The person changes the world. You need a new heart. And God gives that to you for free. Believe by the power of his blood. This means seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness means seeking righteousness in our own hearts, and it will only naturally extend out of our lives to other things and spheres. And you know, some of you, I've seen this in your life in such beautiful ways. Wonderful privilege to have been in this church as long as I have, because I've seen you change, some of you. And you've come to Jesus, and your families are so much better off now, aren't they? And your marriage is in such a better place, and the relationship with the children is so much better, and the outlook on life has completely changed. You don't desire the things you used to desire. I've seen it. And all of a sudden, the people that you're interacting with are now being impacted by you. This is a long-term change that's happened in your life. And this is what Jesus is talking about. It's something that happens to the Christian, whereby God changes the Christian's heart, and now the heart is seeking to implement righteousness wherever it can. any sphere. Spurgeon said, we are knights of the Red Cross, and our bloodless battles are against all things that degrade our fellow men, whether they be causes social, political, or religious. We fight for everything that is good, true, and just. See, the Christian, you're born with a fighter's heart. You will fight. You'll fight for something. You'll fight for your own reputation. You'll fight for people to like you. You'll fight for a good job. You'll fight to get ahead of people in your career. You'll fight for a good education. But the fight must be for righteousness. For righteousness. And when you have a fighter's heart that is aimed at the right place, you will want to see righteousness everywhere. Everywhere. You'll see it everywhere. Just everything I can get my hands on, I want to make better. You're in your career, in your home, in your marriage, right? In public life. Everything. Every time you talk, you want to use your words now to bring about righteousness. So it's so important, I think, that we see that this always starts with the heart. And I get concerned when, because I think some people come to church and think, I just got to be a real good person for all the people around me. That's what they think this is. No, if that's you and you're just trying to make other people think you're a good person, your problem is you don't have any righteousness. You have fake righteousness. You have the fear of man and not the fear of God. The problem is you, it's not the church. People say, well, the church is just full of hypocrites because, you know, and I go to church and I just feel like I got to impress everyone. That's your problem, not the church's problem. The Bible says the fear of man is a snare. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you are possessed by the fear of the Lord, then you're not going to be worried about what everyone else thinks. And the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is all of a sudden going to flow out of your life and it's going to touch everything around you. That's what he's talking about here. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So you can seek the right thing or the wrong things. The right thing would be the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The wrong things are everything else. Everything else is the wrong things. Everything else. The right thing is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's a lot of freedom in this. So, you know, all of a sudden you don't feel pressure to conform politically to what other people want you to conform to. You're bold, courageous. When we seek the righteousness, when we seek righteousness in the kingdom of God, the needs of life always follow. This is a great promise. Look at what Jesus says. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. When he's saying these things, what's he talking about? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. Well, he's talking about verse 25. I tell you, do not be anxious about life, what you eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you will put on. You know, there. How about that? Nor about your body. How about that one? A lot of people talk about body image problems now. Well, don't be anxious about that. You're not supposed to be. All right? Verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Right? These things. The Gentiles seek after these things, according to verse 32. You're not supposed to seek after these things. You're supposed to seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. The right perspectives will be added to you. The work ethic will be added to you. The self-discipline will be added to you. And then that will bring home the bacon. Right? You just seek the Lord and then all of these things fall into place. God will provide for you. So don't waste your time on anxious toil. Enjoy the goodness of God, all these things. And it's, I think we need to importantly, it's important that we understand this is how the Lord's Prayer is structured, right? How did Jesus teach us to pray in Matthew 6? He says in verse 9, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's the first thing we pray for? The righteousness of God on earth. And then give us this day our daily bread. This is the way the Lord's Prayer is structured, right? And this, my friends, is how Solomon prayed in 2 Chronicles 1, verse 11 and 12. I remember reading this as a teenager. and just being totally struck with, wow, I need to seek the wisdom and righteousness of God, just like Solomon did. And what Solomon was given the option, pray for something. Solomon, what did Solomon pray for? He said, give me wisdom, God. Wisdom and righteousness go hand in hand. God answered Solomon in response to this, and he says, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for possessions, wealth, honor, or the life of those who hate you, and have not even asked for long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may govern my people over whom I have made you king. Now, just a second. Now, let's think about that. What did Solomon ask for? He asked for wisdom and knowledge to govern the kingdom of God. He asked for wisdom and knowledge to govern the kingdom of God, that he might have the wisdom and knowledge to be a righteous king in the kingdom. Move to the next slide. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, God said to him. I will also give you riches, possessions, and honor, such as none of the kings had who were before you, and none shall have the like, and none after you should have the like. So what happened with Solomon? Solomon prayed for wisdom and knowledge, the wisdom of God, the righteousness of God. He sought the kingdom first, and the other things came. This is how the Lord works, my friends. You seek the Lord first. You seek his kingdom first, but the world gets it backwards. Seek the finances first. If you got to compromise to get there, compromise. Seek the education and the marketability first. If you got to compromise to make it happen and you have to neglect the things of the Lord to make it happen, then fine. This is what the world tells you. The world tells you, even Christians will sanctify this. Seek the good of your family first. Really? Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. That is the priority. And then you won't mix up how you define good of the family. Because we're so easily mixing up how we define these things. If you seek the righteousness, you'll know what the good of the family looks like. It's the righteousness of God in your home. Right? You know, yeah, you want to do marriage counseling with a couple. This is how it goes. This is how marriage counseling goes. Well, are you seeking the righteousness of God? He said, no, I'm not. You seek the righteousness of God. Yeah, yeah, but what about her? No, I'm talking to you. You seek the righteousness of God, okay? Just you worry about you. And then to her, are you seeking the righteousness of God? No, what about him? He's got problems. He's not, no, I'm not talking about him. You seek the righteousness of God. You. And she says, oh, I do, yeah, you and you. You both seek the righteousness of God. And hey, if you seek the righteousness of God, the marriage thing's going to work out. Because the righteousness of God is learning to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. It's learning to love people like Jesus loved people. It's learning to be forgiving. Okay? You have problems, and I've seen churches, and they change the meaning of the kingdom of God. So all of a sudden, the kingdom of God becomes a building program, or it becomes getting more people into the church. And I'm for getting more people into the church, and you know what? Maybe one day we'll be in a building program. We're raising money for Rehoboth right now, so we can get there. But I've seen some building programs that are done in very unholy ways. And I've seen some churches try to get people in the church in very unholy ways. It's a shifty foundation, that is. May we never become distracted by something that's not the kingdom and call it the kingdom. May we never become distracted by something that's not righteous and call it righteous. I've seen people be blessed, like Solomon, for seeking the kingdom of God. The blessing comes, and then all of a sudden it comes about the blessing as opposed to the Lord who gives the blessing. And it's a distraction. It's not good. And I watched this thing go down with the Waterloo region, the regional government, as within the last year, and they had this big campaign, how we're going to make neighborhoods more community-oriented, right? People are concerned. People don't know their neighbors anymore. They know, people don't trust each other. There's not a sense of community. So how are we going to make people? So what do? They seek community. Let's try and have community. Why would I have community? Well, for the sake of community. No, you don't have community unless you have the righteousness of God, and you don't get community by seeking community. You get community by seeking righteousness. The community flows out of that. That's where the love and the trust comes from. The desire to help people and live at peace with people and the commonality. It comes when a group of people together seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Spurgeon said, he says, keep yourselves entire for God and for his Christ, and let all other matters be additions, not subtractions. If it becomes about the other matters, those other matters become subtractions. And if you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added unto you. What a beautiful promise. But the world has it backwards. I'm not surprised with all the terrible things going on in our world. The suicides, the drug abuse. Not surprised. People harming themselves, cutting themselves. When there's an entire generation that has been trained to seek something other than the righteousness of God, you basically have just some dark nihilism. It's nothing. It's just nothingness. And they don't even know. They're seeking a million things and they don't even know what they're consciously seeking. But they're seeking something, but they don't even know what it is. And it's just ripping people apart. It's ripping the community apart. God hasn't created us to seek well-being, inner peace, strong families, money, fun, good communities, and good marriages. He hasn't created us to seek those things. He has created us to seek the righteousness of God. And all these things will be added unto you. All these things will be added unto you. You're either going to worry about the Lord or you're going to worry about your righteousness in a righteous type of worrying. There's only two ways to do this, folks. Seek the righteousness of God and his kingdom, or seek all these other things. Seeking the righteousness of God and his kingdom is the right way. All the other things is the wrong way. But the wonderful thing about Scripture and the promise of Jesus Christ is he says, if we seek the righteousness of God and his kingdom, we still get all the other things. But it's about, are you going to seek him? Or are you going to seek the stuff he can give you? What are you seeking? What's the purpose of your life?